We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Chicago baseball fans, will the Cubs start dealing core players? Will the Sox stick with the guys they have? When trade deadline news breaks, we're the place to be. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by the law offices of Jeffrey M. Leving.
I love ball.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, 9 a.m. to noon.
Fouled away, right side. Another nice play. This one in the jut out where there's just the railing and a great catch again by a fan.
It's a really fine fielding fandom.
I love ball.
Nice catch down there. There you go. Wait a second. Southside. I don't know what to do.
That's a heck of a play, young man.
Love ball.
The other side of the equation. You bring your glove. You're a fine defender. You make sure everybody in this section is okay, and you get to be the hero. Moral is, you bring your glove to the ballpark, you won't get hit in the head.
Ball tails, because why not? It's Friday, and we want to hear from you because we're done working for the week. So you entertain us.
I also don't want to think about Nelson Cruz on the Rays because I'm pretty sure they made that move just to secure him for the White Sox later.
The texts are flying fast and furious, and we're everywhere from Ron Kittle to Thad Bosley to Julio Cruz and Ozzie Guillen and all of these connections to the game that we'll never forget. The first ball I got was a Daryl Strawberry spring training home run, and I know that. Off the bat, sitting on a berm, and I went and I got it. You got a foul ball in the press box.
My first game covering the Texas Rangers for the Ticket in Dallas as the clubhouse reporter for Diamond Talk. In case you wonder why I always end everything with talk, there you go. And I get there and I have no idea what I'm doing. I'd never been to a game covering it professionally in baseball before. I'd been to high school football press boxes and whatnot. That's a little different. So I sit because we have our own booth in the press box and I'm watching the game. And all of a sudden, a foul ball off Juan Gonzalez's bat, which I had forgotten about. And that guy had some power back in the day for reasons we all know now. And it ricocheted inside the frame of the press box, and I was terrified. And everybody's like, you should have caught it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then it never happened again.
No ball ever came up in the box ever again?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. All right, 312-644-6767. John in Nashville will start us off on the score. Hey, John, what's your ball tale?
Hey, guys. My dad and I, we started this tradition when I was about 9 years old. This was the first time we ever did it. We'd always go 2 hours before the game for batting practice balls. And it was the only game I ever attended at Old Comiskey Park. I was 9 years old. My dad was behind me. We're sitting in the down the right field line, foul territory. The wall is about 6 feet high. I see the first ball come screaming at me about a 2-3 hopper. I lean over to grab it, fall out onto the field. I looked up at my dad. I asked my dad, I go, did you get the ball? He goes, yeah, while you're down there, grab my cigarettes. They fell out of my shirt pocket.
that's the most Old Comiskey story I think I've ever heard. Like, all you needed was like a cup of Little King's ale spilled on your face. John from Joliet, you're next on Bernstein Rahimi on the score.
Well, guys, believe it or not, this happened at the Old Comiskey Park as well. We're at the last game of the season and the last game at Comiskey Park. My wife is with me, 7 months pregnant. So we're watching batting practice, and here comes one. It bounces over the wall. I go to get in front of her because that's my first reaction, protect my wife. And I miss the ball, but I turn around to look at her, see if she's okay. She catches the ball and says, do I have to do everything? I have that ball in the garage as we speak.
Who hit it?
I don't know. I was just trying to protect my wife at the time, but, you know, she's pregnant. She catches the ball, and she just tells me, do I have to do everything?
love to know who hit it, though.
I love that story. Yeah. I think John from Joliet is the same John who has What About Danks as his license plate.
South Bend and Josh on the score.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Layla. Hey. I got two quick ones for you. So I used to work for the South Bend Silverhawks when I was younger before they were the South Bend Cubs in the concession stand. Well, I had a day off, and I went to the game the next day. I had saved up all summer to get a nice citizen's watch. Justin Upton was just been drafted by the Diamondbacks. He's playing down there, and he hits a frozen rope right to me, shatters my watch everywhere. The very next day, I tell one of the players, because they would come up to the concession stand every single day to get free food and all that, and I told one of the players what happened. Next thing I know, Justin comes up to the concession stand. He's got two signed bats for me, and he goes, I hope this makes up for it. So that was pretty cool. And then recently, I took my girlfriend to her first Major League Baseball game this year, and it was against Carlos Rodon's no-hitter, and your mean Mercedes hit a foul ball. Well, my girlfriend had just got up to go to the bathroom. She comes back, I got a ball, and the people behind us are giving her crap, telling her that I stole it from a little kid, and she's looking at me going, what is going on? Did you really steal this from a kid? And I had explained to her that they were just joking, but I just wanted to tell you guys those stories. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it, too. This is Tom next on the score. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I took my son to his first Major League Baseball game at Wrigley Field. We wanted to get there early for batting practice, and he wanted to bring his glove. He brought his glove with him. We're from Normal, Illinois, and I said, no, you'll lose it. You know, a 10-year-old kid, mm-hmm. You're not going to be responsible, da-da-da. He goes, well, what if a ball comes our way? I go, I can catch it. It's all right. So we're in left field for batting practice. Alex Rodriguez was playing for the Rangers then. He hit a scorcher that I put my hand up. It smacked me in the palm, went straight up, and landed two rows behind me with a guy with a glove. And it popped right into his glove. And my son never forgave me. He's 30 years old now, and he never forgave me for that. I had the stitch mark from the ball in the palm of my hand. It hurt.
You know what? He brings up a good point, too. Back in those days when we saw a lot of exit velocity that we couldn't really measure, that's a good reason to bring a glove to the ballpark, too, if you're an adult.
Yeah, just protection? Sure.
I didn't even think about that piece of it.
And he may be from Normal, but he's not Normal Tom. Not if he says he's in the Twitch stream.
Yay, Twitch!
Northwest Side and Steve, he's on the score.
Hey, it's 1989, and I'm making my living as a sports photographer, and I'm shooting a game at Kauffman Stadium, and it's the Blue Jays and the Royals, and I'm in the photographer as well on the first base side, and George Bell hit, I mean, a major, major pop-up, and I mean, it's a mile and a half high. And I can see that it's coming right to me. And all I can think of while I'm seeing it come down is I've got this borrowed lens from this guy from a Kansas City paper they let me use that cost $5,000 or $6,000. And I just got to make sure that the ball doesn't land on this very expensive piece of photography equipment so that, you know, I don't owe this guy this, you know, a new lens. Mm-hmm. And so as the ball is coming down toward me, I'm watching it, and instead of just covering the lens, I have like a Bartman moment, and I figure I'm just going to catch it because I haven't shot that much baseball. I don't have a lot of experience. I'm new at this, and I don't know that I'm really kind of in the field of play.
Oh, no.
So George Brett is playing first base, and I certainly don't see him coming because I'm looking at the ball.
Uh-oh.
George Brett comes over the barrier, and, well, I don't see this, but, I mean, the next thing I know, I'm flat on my back. George Brett is flat on his back. And I'd met him before because I was out there photographing a friend of mine who played for the Royals and who'd introduced us. And so he says, Steve! And I had it all the way until that jackass grabbed it, and a band had reached between me and George Brett, to catch the ball. And so I was sort of relieved because he's mad at the fan and not me. But then I'm driving back to Champaign and I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know if Major League ball players watch Sports Center, but if George Brett sees this, he's going to know I'm as big a jackass as the guy who did catch the ball. And so I was sweating that the whole way, and I never did see it, but it was a moment.
Thanks. It certainly was.
What a confession.
Yeah, thank you. That's a run over by a Hall of Famer. This text, 1962, Wrigley Field. Duke Snyder smoked a foul ball into the seats along the third baseline, stuck my glove up and snagged it, waited outside the clubhouse, and got Duke to sign it.
Oh.
Made a 9-year-old boy smile. That's where I want this. See, here we go.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are submitting really good stories regardless of who the player is or if they know.
Yeah, the 847. My father caught a foul ball from Joe DiMaggio when he was 9 or 10, waited until after the game, and Joe signed it for him. I still have the ball.
That's awesome. I deciphered this. I love whoever texted this, 219. This is one of those texts could have been in emails, though, and it would have been easier to read just for us because of how we receive it. Hang with me here because it's pretty good. It was September 2004, and my aunt and uncle had tickets. We were sitting down the third baseline near left field. The Marlins were in town, and Miguel Cabrera was playing left field. Moises Alou hit a pop-up right at us. Everyone in the section scattered except me and my uncle. I got hit on my hand, but was not able to secure the catch. And as I'm looking around for where the ball went, the person next to me stood up and gasped because blood was gushing out of my hand like a river.
Ugh.
The impact split the webbing between my index and my middle finger. First aid came and took me under the stands and applied some bandages. We stayed for another few innings, and then I had to go to the ER and receive 4 stitches. The best part about this is that Cabrera mockingly recreated the Moises Alou tantrum from the Bartman incident that year before, running into the wall in pursuit and then throwing his glove down at all. Whenever Cabrera was playing left field, Moises Alou hit a pop-up right at us. So we heard that, and then he said, whenever I tell this story, people always ask me if I received the ball, which I did not. But I have a cool baseball stitch-shaped scar, so I guess that counts.
Wow.
That's awful.
Ouch.
So you just have the imputation from the scar as your souvenir from all of that.
A permanent souvenir. Congratulations to you.
Oh, that was brutal.
I don't even know what's... Oh, here we go. It's Steve in Des Plaines who is on the score on Ball Tales. Steve.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from Des Plaines. I'm 68. This is the summer of 67. Me and my buddy, Bob Alinsky, we lived in Morton Grove. We rode our bikes down to the Skokie Swift and took the L down to the Wrigley Field. And we caught batting practice. And we had a Willie Mays home run batting practice from coming right at us. And I think it was so high, and I even said to Bob, Bob, it's coming at us. It's coming at us. Get ready. And as soon as the ball got to us, we got tackled, got tossed down the steps. And the ball went bouncing out and landing into this big fat guy's hand. And I'd never forget it. It was unbelievable.
That same day,
we snuck into the dugout area at Wrigley Field. And we had a little altercation with Leo DeRocher. My friend Bob goes, hey, Leo, you're going to win today? And he looked at us and growled and said, get away from me, kids.
It's on brand. I believe that. In Roselle, it is Al. Al's on Sports Radio 670 on Bernstein and Rahimi. What's up, Al?
Good morning, guys. I got two real quick. The first one is foul ball. Late 70s, Devonta Jesus hits a screaming line drive down the right field line. I'm in the first row with my buddy. And, you know, you don't think about it. I just leaped on top of the wall. I didn't get on it, but with my stomach. And I make the catch on the second bounce. But now I'm going over. So my buddy grabbed me by the pants, and I wasn't wearing a belt that day. And not only did I make the catch, I mooned the entire club crowd.
That's awesome. The texter from the 773 says, 1993, caught a Sammy Sosa foul ball. Waited until after the game in the parking lot. His car was swarmed by fans, so we left. To my utter surprise, about 10 minutes later, by pure luck, he's right next to us at a red light. And we get out of the car and he signs the ball before the light changes.
That's fast.
That's really cool. Yeah, and you had to be pretty fast too. We got a lot of Steves and a lot of Al's today, don't we?
Where are the Bobs? What's happening here?
We need to
I don't understand.
Bob. This is Al on the northwest side on the score. Al, welcome to Ball Tales.
Hey, thanks, Dan. I think you're the only one at the score today that's going to know what I'm talking about. But in the late 70s, I was an Andy Frey and Usher.
Okay.
Remember those?
Sure, of course. And your blue and yellow uniforms.
Exactly. I still have the hats. I usually worked lower box seats right behind the Cubs dugout. But one day I got this assignment called the Cubs dugout ramp, which was you sat in a folding chair in this darkly lit room. And in this ante room, that's where the umps would rub the balls up with the Mississippi mud. Now, Dan, this is what I want you to remember. Remember who used to hand the home plate umpire the balls?
Was it usually
before Marla?
Before Marla Collins. No, I don't.
The big fat Andy Frame guy.
Oh my God!
I have
a vague memory of this. Yes.
Okay. Well, he comes out of the ump room, walks by me as I'm sitting there. Just lobs a ball into my lap. I'm like, oh, cool. This is awesome. I didn't have to work for it. But here's the kicker to the story. About the seventh inning, Bobby Mercer comes down into the Cubs dugout ramp area. He's chewing his gum, got his bat over his shoulder, saunters up to me, looks at me, and just spits his gum out onto my lap.
Oh, God.
What a jerk.
That's terrible.
So I got up and I beat him up. No, I'm kidding. So that's my story.
Okay.
Very random.
Not quite sure where the ball was there. It's not really a ball tale.
Kind
it's
of.
Something that happened to me in a baseball game, but okay. We're going to do more. Let's keep them coming. I told you, the phone lines are just locked and loaded. Could barely keep up with the text, but Friday Fung is in full force here. Ball Tales. More of it next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Didn't used to be the way it is now. Ever since there was a work stoppage and Bud Selig encouraged every last out of every inning to somehow find its way into the crowd, getting a ball was a big deal because it usually had to come off a bat, come off a foul ball or an errant throw. Now, man, every inning when Tim Anderson is headed to the dugout and looking for kids and looking to throw it over the netting, it's if you sit down there anywhere near the dugout, sometimes he throws it all the way up like into the club level.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want him to get hurt doing it, but I love the fact that so many players and coaches have been encouraged to use these balls as parts of baseball diplomacy because it works. People remember.
They share.
Yes.
Isn't that nice when people share and then good things happen? I want to have this story, too. This is from 630. It's Cornbread and Wheaton. Not a ball, but on September 5th, 1991, Robin Ventura threw Ozzie Guillen's glove over the dugout directly into my lap.
His actual gamer? Yeah.
Which
you got to give that back.
Knowing more and more about Robin Ventura, he's a lot funnier than his cool exterior would let on. I punched it for a bit, not realizing where it came from because I was in first grade, and I tossed it back to him.
Good.
Ozzie hit his first and only career grand slam a couple innings later. Fast forward to August 10th, 2004, and I caught the only foul ball I've ever caught at a game. I later hollered at Ozzie to sign it. He signed a separate ball and gave me the lineup card.
Oh, cool.
And this is why people love him. Ozzie was always my favorite player, but those moments made him a legend in my mind. That's from Cornbread and Wheaton. That's great. Also, what caused Robin Ventura to take Ozzie's glove and throw it into the crowd?
Yeah, that had to be. You don't mess with gloves. Gloves are sacrosanct. You don't do that with the amount of time it takes to get a glove. Just, I mean, that, you know, you're talking about a Wilson A3000 or the Heart of the Hyde Rawlings. These are $300 pieces of art here.
Well, in Ozzie's shortstop game, think about how important that must have been to him. That was his
It's existence. Like a member of your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Norm in Lake in the Hills on Ball Tales on The Score.
Hi, good morning, guys. So 1982, freshman year at Loyola, my roommate and I decide to hop on the red line, go to Wrigley, got some bleacher seats. There was probably about 1,200 people there that day. So we're sitting in the misty, cold rain on a Wednesday afternoon. Mike Schmidt hits a screaming liner into the center field bleachers. bounces off my left hand, lands in my lap. My hand blows up like a cartoon character's hand. Andy Frainusher gave me a bag of ice. And so after the game, we go down by the right field side where the players come out and get on their bus. Schmidt wouldn't sign it. He walked right past me. Yeah, very fan friendly. So Tug McGraw was like right behind him. McGraw said some things to him that I can't say on the air.
Wow.
So Tug signed it and he signed it. Schmidt hit it. Tug signed it. And then he put his name like all over the ball.
You still have it?
It was kind of cool.
you still have it?
I do, yes.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
That's great. That's fun stuff. And then we talk about names. 312 texter, Nolan Ryan pitched it. Frank Thomas hit it straight up and back to the upper deck, whereas with a company out and caught it and jumped up and down like I won the game.
Yeah, that's brushes with greatness right there.
That's two HOFs on there. You can get
two of the best.
It, right? In Naperville, it's Jeff. Jeff is on WSCR.
Hey, guys. This is really good timing following that call. So many years ago, went to a Sox game in Old Comiskey, early season game, very cold. And my brother and two other buddies went. We go get there kind of right when the game's starting, but we had to go grab a hot dog first. So we're going through the concessions, and I'm last one through. I get through. I'm trying to figure out where these guys are. They're already down in the seats, and they're laughing at me because they're right behind home plate. Two seats were outside the net. Two seats were inside the net. And they're saying, you're not going to get a ball. And so second batter of the game, it was a 6 o'clock start. Hits a high pop-up. My brother sticks his hands out there. It's going to land right next to him. He hears that ball sizzling, pulls his arms back. It bounces about 15 rows behind us. Being a 6 o'clock start, there was nobody sitting behind us. I look back, and there's that ball rolling underneath the seats, and it comes right to me. I start jumping up like Ferris Bueller, and that story from now on has been known as the alligator arm story.
Do you remember who hit it?
I do not. I know it's the second batter of the game in Seattle, but I do not remember who hit it.
You should go to Baseball Reference so you can find the date and track it down.
I bet you can.
I'm sure you can. In Des Plaines, here's Tim on Ball Tales on the Score. Tim, we got you?
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Yeah, I've got a similar story to the one right before the last one, which was in the mid-70s, I was at a Sox-Red Sox game, and in the first inning, Kyle Yastrzemski hit a line drive rope, and we were in the right field bleachers, second row. And there was a guy next to me, you know, who wasn't part of our party, but he caught it barehanded, like this line drive rope. And by the second inning, his hands were just completely blown up and black and blue. He must have just broke his hand.
Disgusting, but awesome at the same time.
Nobody could break a hand like yes. I'll tell you, Wimperu, no was the best at breaking fans' hands with home runs. Yes. Next, Carlos Delgado. Joe from Lockport, you're on the Score.
Hey, so this story happened about 1996. My brother calls me, or he says to me, hey, let's go to a Cubs game. So he's 16. I'm 12. We go to the Cubs game. He says, hey, if I bring a ball, I'll try to get one of the players to play catch with us. So we get to the game. We get to the bleachers. And he starts waving the ball to players. And the Padres were taking batting practice at the time. So one of the players says, okay. So we start playing catch with the guy. And he was real cool. We're playing catch with them from the bleachers. And then my brother says, hey, would you mind if I throw down a camera and take some pictures of us? And he does it, takes the picture. So a little later in the game, the guy comes up and says, hey, you see that girl up there? Could you, if I give you a ball, could you get her number for me? And he said, okay. So, you know.
So now you're running a scheme for him. That's amazing.
Who is the player?
You know what? I wish I was 12 years old. I do not remember.
What year was it? Just let me look at a Padres 96. Roster. Okay.
96. It 96
Padres.
Would have been a
that's great.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious and realistic at the same time.
Like, so believable, right? Entirely.
Oh, that's good.
In Winfield, here's Kevin on the Score.
Good morning. So this is the summer of 2007, my then girlfriend of just 8 months bought bleacher tickets to a Cubs Cards game at Wrigley as a graduation present. And she grew up in St. Louis, and I'm a diehard Cubs fan. We're in the second row in left center, and it's about the third or fourth inning when my girlfriend's favorite player, So Taguchi, is at bat.
My guy!
For the Cardinals. Yeah, right. So he belts a high fly shot that's coming directly to me. All I need to do is reach out my hands, and it lands perfectly into the outstretched hands, elated at the catch, but very upset that the Cardinals scored. My inner meatball comes out, and I immediately fire the ball back onto the field.
Oh my God!
I know. It's stupid now that I think about it. But after high-fiving, you know, all the Cubs fans around me, I look down, see my girlfriend sitting and sulking, and regret just immediately comes over me. I'm scared that the rest of the game is just going to be quite rough. She's done talking for me for the rest of the game, or possibly for the rest of my life. But because she's so awesome, a few minutes later, she's just joking around with me about it. Says she totally understands why I did it. Fast forward to the present day. We're married with two kids. Yay. I claim that was the moment that was when I knew that she was the one. So kind of romantic in a way, but still wish that I wasn't such a dope and I kept the ball.
And all connected to So Taguchi, who I've always said is just So Taguchi.
Your guy.
Yeah, that's somebody, because I'd say, you know, that guy, he's just So Taguchi.
We made the same dumb joke too. We would always say, that's So Taguchi.
I didn't have the reference at the time. I just thought, okay, you know what, the scouting report on him, he's So Taguchi, that guy.
He's also a tad at Gucci. Not too much, but just a tad. By the way, Joe said 96 Padres left-handed outfielder Chris Gwynn, which could explain the post-game party with Tony Gwynn. Right? That's what he said, isn't it?
Did he tell you if he got the number for the girl and gave it back? That's the part I wanted to also hear, but I reacted too early because it was great.
Speaking of that, not to hijack the segment, but my cousin Gary is a very big and intimidating man, and he was at a Cubs game with his then-girlfriend. Cubs bullpen catcher threw her a ball with his number on it, and my cousin Gary threw it back, not to him, but at him. Which is very in character for my cousin Gary.
Gotta shoot your shots, I guess.
There are so many stories. This is amazing. I don't know what to do about this.
Well, we're gonna grab, we got three more calls we've got, and it's so hard to keep up with these texts, man.
I know, the text, like, I want everybody to, I said to text, and now I feel like they should be emails.
Ken is in Oswego, and he's on the score.
Hi, guys. I got three parts to this story. About 10, 12 years ago, I took my son, he's about 6, to his first ball game. And Josh Fields hit a foul ball off the upper concourse. It bounced back, and I barehanded it. I caught it, started celebrating, and everybody around me is celebrating my son's first game. Got a ball, pretty cool. Second part is, I have a friend that lives in Charlotte, and Josh Fields was down there on a rehab assignment. So he goes, send me the ball with a letter from your son, and I'll have him get it signed. A couple weeks later, I get a package. The ball's in the mail signed. A bunch of cards that he signed, which was really cool. Then the third part is, I went to spring training the next year, and I saw Josh Fields. I'm like, hey, Josh, do you remember signing a ball for my son at his first games? He instantly did a U-turn. He goes, I absolutely do. And he came up to me, and he just started talking with me for a few minutes.
Nice.
Great experience.
Nice. That's a great baseball story.
It is. Heartwarming.
That's how it's supposed to be. Roscoe Village and Milo. He's on WSCR The Score. What's your ball tale?
Well, you know, I'm a Cubs fan forever. Been to a ton of games. Never been remotely close to a foul ball or a home run. But a couple years ago, my wife and I took her mother to see the Cubs play at Miller Park. She's a big Brewers fan. Well, sitting right next to me, some guy who took the bus and I to Brewers, you know, to see the Cubs. And I asked him why. He said, well, he was an alcoholic and he lost his license to drunk driving. We were chatting. He said, yeah, I have to eat a lot now that I don't drink. So he was up getting concessions all the time. While he's up getting a concession, somebody for the Cubs hit a foul ball that caromed off the facade where the press boxes are up behind home plate and plopped right in that guy's seat.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
And so when he came back, he said, did I miss anything while I was gone? And I said, yeah, this foul ball. and I gave it to my mother-in-law because we had her there for her birthday. So
I thought you were going to say you gave it to him. Which,
plot twist.
Right? Cubs lineup is out, and it does include both Chris Bryant, who's batting second and playing left field, and Matt Duffy.
Hey!
Who is batting fifth and playing third base.
So he back!
Just that little bit of information, they back. One more call for this Friday. Fung Tim in East Chicago is going to close out Ball Tales. Tim.
Hey, guys. Back about 87, 88 at the old ballpark, take the girlfriend to the game. We've got seats behind first base, and I had gone to a lot of games, but it was her first time that season. And the Sox, in their misguided decision to put Kenny Williams at third base, our beloved Kenny Williams, and he was a very great athlete, but his arm was a little bit erratic. And I told her, look, if the ball's hit to him, duck down, because it's going to come sailing anyway in this direction. We were behind first base, and sure enough, they hit a grounder to Kenny, and he makes a throw, and everybody's screaming, get down, get down. And it comes sailing over the first baseman's head, hits the guy in front of us, ricochets over, and knocks the beer out of my girlfriend's hand. Oh. And I said, I told you.
Right?
You would so,
have your crash helmets on over there if he's playing third base.
We have an update from the Padres story.
Yes.
He texted in. He said, yeah, I got the number. And we met the entire Padres team after the game at the Drake. I knew there was more to that story. Sometimes you know.
Non-baseball story. A guy says, I went to an international friendly USA versus Argentina. Said, Lionel Messi, free kick 25 yards away, on target, top corner, saved by Tim Howard diving to his right, and I caught it about eight rows up. Don't you have to give that back?
I don't know.
Are you allowed to keep? Those are like $100 soccer balls, aren't they? I don't know what the rules are there. It used to be that the NFL footballs they would get back. Obviously, you give an NBA basketball back. They're playing. They're using it. You know, pucks, you don't have to. But I don't know. Are you allowed to keep that soccer ball?
I don't know the answer to that question. I would assume you have to throw it back. 260, Bernsey, I shared an easy elevator ride with So Taguchi.
Why was it uneasy?
It was in Cincinnati. He didn't know me. I didn't recognize him. He looked and was dressed like a 14-year-old skate kid. We exited on the same floor and regarded each other wearily until entering our respective rooms.
Squaring off with So Taguchi. Thanks for all the contributions in that segment. Oh, and by the way, with the activation of Matt Duffy, Eric Sogard has been DFA'd.
Take your glasses and go.
Yeah, see ya. Take your dumbass, unvaccinated, idiot ass and go somewhere else with it.
What do we do now?
And Ken Rosenthal says the Mets are in the process of acquiring Rich Hill from the Rays.
I was expecting Chris Bryant there, and then you said Rich Hill, and then I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It's the trade deadline. Rich Hill's got to go somewhere.
It's all happening. We next are going to hear a story. One of the voices of the Yankees, the Bubby of the Yankees, Susan Waldman of the Yes Network, was reminiscing about her career and told a story that, of course, involves the Grobber. That's next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I know you weren't angry about getting to go to the Super Bowl. I just wondered if you were. I was always been a little worried, a little self-conscious, that you were angry with me after that back and forth, but it
I don't
like,
think I've okay. ever been angry with you ever.
Oh wow, okay. This is heartening, I have to say. That's very good to hear.
I consider you one of my best friends on the planet. Amen. And I hope you feel the same way.
Amen. I wish you were here right now. I'd give you like a long hug. You know what I mean? Like the long kind.
See, but that's he says on the planet. Not his home planet. Not unless his actual home planet, which we think might be Pluto because of how fiercely he defends its status as an actual planet, even though it's not a planet anymore. That there's a qualification there. Grody's one of his best friends on this planet.
Grody, did you also notice when he said, oh, he was pleasantly surprised, but immediately thinking of ways to terrorize Grobber even further?
Of course he is, in his own insidious and impish way.
Sneaky pot stirrer. Yep.
Well, one of the voices of the Yankees is Susan Waldman, who's had quite the eventful career over. She's in her 70s now and has been working probably, what, 50-some years now as a broadcaster. And she was telling some of those stories on the Starkville podcast. It's hosted by Jason Stark and Doug Glanville. And speaking of the Grobber, she told a story.
It was not an easy time. It started to change. I think I started to become, I think I was taken seriously for the first time because of the San Francisco earthquake. Hmm. I was in the upper deck, and it was October 1989, and I was on the air. And for some reason, my phone and the guy next to me, a Chicago reporter named Les Grobstein.
Oh, yeah.
He was next
I know
to
Les.
Me.
Oh, and yeah.
Les, ask Les to, next time you see him, ask him to show you the nail marks that he still has in his arm from me grabbing. But there were two phones in the entire stadium that did not go out, mine and Les's.
Oh, wow.
And I stayed on the air, but I'm grabbing onto him. They cut from him, but I'm grabbing onto him. And he always talks about that. He says he's got the nail marks from when, but I kept talking. I kept going. And I did the whole thing and described the whole thing and the wind socks going. It's all so connected. It's amazing. If you just keep going, there's going to be someone who's going to help you.
Of course, Les's phone worked. I hooked it up with alligator clips through a coffee machine.
But honestly, how was Les's phone working?
Because that he's the guy who's like after nuclear winter, it'll still Les will be at a microphone talking about sports. The only like the cockroaches, all of humanity will be gone, and Grobstein will be there like at a card table with a microphone.
I'm completely in belief of this. I will not doubt that in the least. Susan Waldman's fantastic, though.
We have to get to Lawrence Holmes quickly because he has Steve Stone coming up at the top of the hour on The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.